Good morning. It's a blessing to be with you this morning. I don't know if you heard this about me. I'm from Texas, and I don't know if that makes you think, oh, yay, another person from Texas, or, oh, yay, another person from Texas. Sometimes I wonder, is anybody left in Texas? We're all seem to be over here. My wife and I, we do reside. We live in Texas in a little town called San Antonio. It's in the south part of Texas. And we've just been back in our home state the last 5 years. Previous to that, we spent 15 years in Germany. Sprechen nur ein bisschen Deutsch. Actually, das ist alles right there. We have a real heart for this international expat community. We've spent approximately half of our adult life in churches just like yours. So even though I don't know too many names here, Deborah and I just immediately come in with a love for each and every one of you. So it kind of feels like home to us, even more so in some cases than our home church there in Texas. I know that every week when you get together, it's IBC Sunday, right? It's IBC Sunday every Sunday here in Madrid. When you come together, it's IBC Sunday. This church, I mean, if you're glad that this church is here, if you're happy that someone, you are so glad and grateful that someone some 50 years ago, 50 years plus ago, a couple of families decided to get together and start a church that became this church. If you love this IBC church, if you love this church, would you just give God a round of applause, of praise? Yeah, yeah. Yes, thank you, Lord. Every Sunday here is IBC Sunday, and we're celebrating the Lord for that. Today, actually, is another kind of IBC Sunday as well. Not Emmanuel Baptist Church, but the International Baptist Convention. These are your brother and sister churches, some 65 or more of them, that are located in about 25 different countries all over Europe, Central and South America, a little bit in the Middle East as well. So this is IBC Sunday, also in the bigger scheme of things. It is your family. So on behalf of the other 65, 70 churches, your brothers and sister churches out there all over the world, I say greetings, good morning, buenos dias, all of those things to you this morning. So it's a double celebration of IBC Sunday. This morning, I'm going to be talking to you about calling, and more specifically about, just a tough conversation about sometimes the calling gets tough. But I just want to be real with you this morning, just right now in the moment, relevant. This morning, as I sat in the first service, and Brother Pastor Fernando got up here and told about the exciting things going on in this new church here in Madrid, I started sensing maybe a calling to plant another church myself. I'm not sure yet, but maybe a calling. And then when the special music team got up here and sang and worshiped God the way they did, I thought maybe God's calling me to go to wherever that country is where they worship God like that. So we'll see. We'll have to have some more conversations with the Lord. But this morning I want to talk to you about calling. And it's so important such a privilege of mine to be here while you have been going through this missions emphasis. I know that for some weeks now and some more weeks to come, you're focusing on an emphasis of missions. And disciple making is at the tip of that missions effort. And we make disciples, and if we're successful in that, then disciples will come together, and then now you have a church, and so you've planted a new church. And then when you plant new churches, and they begin to reach out to the community and make other disciples, you see how it works. Making disciples necessitates church planting, and church planting brings about new disciples. It's a wonderful plan that God's instituted and included us in. So this morning, I want to talk in the context somewhat, or at least in the framework of church planting, but what I really want to get to is that we all have a calling in life. We all have different callings in life, and sometimes it can be difficult. Well, when it comes to my particular personal calling into church planting, it happened several years ago. The year was 2003. In 2003, I was still a member of the United States Air Force. I was stationed in Germany at Ramstein Air Base, and I was sitting at my desk. I shared an office with one other colleague. He sat across from me, and he directly faced me in his desk, and I faced him. And so I'm there on a Friday afternoon. It's about 30 minutes before we get off work, and so I'm just kind of goofing off. I'm just not doing any work. I'm wasting the taxpayer money. You know, that's what we do. For about 30 minutes. And so I get on the website and I go to the International Baptist Convention website. Actually, back then, it was called the European Baptist Convention website because it was predominantly in Europe. And so I'm on the website just seeing what's going on. And I see a letter has been posted by our current but outgoing president. And he was extending this passionate call in the letter saying, come over here. Come to Europe and help us. Come to Europe and help us. More international churches, more expat-type churches, come and help us. And I sat there, and that letter and his words and the Spirit of God began to grip my heart, and I began to sense the Lord speaking to my spirit, hearing the voice of the Lord call me into this. And I just started, yes, Lord, yes. And tears in my eyes, yes, Lord. And then I looked up, and my coworker was looking right at me. Are you okay? What's wrong with you, Chief? Fortunately, he was a Christian, and so I could explain, I'm okay. You know, I was just hearing from the Lord and feeling a call, an invitation to come over here or stay in Europe and help to leave my military service career and begin doing something else, maybe planting a church. And so anyway, I get up. It's time to go. I turn off my computer and everything, and I jump in my car. I drive as fast as I can legally to get home, maybe a little illegal, to get home, and I run in the house, and I'm yelling, Deborah, where are you, Deborah? She comes out. What's the matter? I'm excited. I'm a little bit shaken. I still have some tears in my eyes. And I said, I was sitting at my desk. I was goofing off. And I was looking on the website and a letter and a call. And God says, come, come over and help. And so I feel God saying, come over and help. Get out of the Air Force. Do something here, ministry. And I said, yes, Lord. Is that okay with you? Because, you know, God tell you something, but you got to check with your wife sometimes to make sure. All right. And being the discerning mature believer that she is, she said, that's wonderful. Let's just continue to pray and see what the Lord will say to us for confirmation. This was a Friday afternoon. I could hardly sleep Friday night. I was so excited. Got up Saturday. I'm just waiting for Saturday to get done with so I can go to church on Sunday. Go to church on Sunday. There's a visiting preacher coming in. He's not the pastor of that church, but he was visiting with us, and he comes to the pulpit that we have there, and he comes and he says, turn with me into your Bibles to chapter 16 of Acts. And I want to talk to you today about the Macedonian call, which was this call, a vision that Paul the apostle had, a call with a man saying, come over here and help. Macedonia is what we call today Europe. Europe, come over and help. I'm sitting over here because I led the worship and my wife was sitting over here. And I looked at her and she looked at me and I said, yes. And she's like, uh-huh. And I'm like, yes, Lord, yes. Immediate confirmation. And so off we were with this new calling in our life to leave that career and go into ministry. We weren't quite exactly sure what we were going to do yet, but we believed it had to do with church planting. And you know, when we sense the calling of God in our lives, we begin to hear God extending a call to us, inviting us into something. It's exciting. I mean, it should be super exciting anytime you hear the Lord's voice, you know, but to be included by Him, have the privilege of coming alongside and joining in with God and what He's doing in the world. It's exciting. We begin to think about the wonderful things that He's going to do. I mean, if God's in it, we're going to win it, right? You know, and so we get excited about the wonderful things He's going to do and the mighty works we're going to get to see and how we're going to be get to participate in it. And it is glorious. And we think it's all going to work out just perfectly. But we know that all those glorious things will take place, but there are also going to be moments or days or seasons when the calling gets tough. The calling gets tough. And in this personal calling of mine and my wife Deborah to start a new church there in Germany for the American military community, right at the beginning, it started to get tough. I mean, it was beautiful. There was wonderful things happening. Like, I asked the Lord, if this is really, 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 really what you want me to do, then give me a sign, God. And then, like, in the next 3 or 4 days, I had opportunity to lead 3 or 4 people to Christ. And I'm like, well, give me a sign, God. No, that was the sign. And so that was wonderful. But also at the very beginning, there were some difficult days of the calling. For example, some of our closest friends who have always been encouraging, they weren't that encouraging about this call of ours to plant a new church. I don't know why. And we expected our best, these close friends, to be encouraging to us. I began to doubt myself. Well, wait a minute. You know, I said, yes, Lord, yes. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute. I've never been part of a church plant. I've never done a church plant. I haven't read too many books about church planting. I don't think I've ever had a class on church planting. I don't know anything about that. How, God, I don't know. What if I fail? I don't know how to do this. I don't want to shame the name of Christ. So I began to have these doubts and second guessing and hesitation and worry. And so I had to deal with that. And then you would expect, of all people in a community, you would expect when we start talking about another church being born to reach the lost in the city, you would expect other pastors, other church leaders to be all for that. But there was actually a pastor in one of the local churches that verbally attacked me because I was talking about planting another church in the city. And I knew it wasn't him, but I knew it was a spiritual warfare at play. So right from the beginning, there was some difficult times. There was the calling, even in the accepting of the calling and getting started with our first steps in the calling, there were difficult times. Now, in a group this size, because I'm a church planter kind of guy, in a group this size, I think there's at least 6 church planters in here. There's at least 6 church planters. And if I look at you in the eye very long, then you know that's you, all right? All right, if I give you eye contact, then I'm calling you out, all right? But maybe not everybody's going to be called into church planting. But all of us as believers, if you're a believer here today, place your faith in Christ, then we all have the same callings. We have a calling to live holy, righteous lives. We have a calling, as we've heard this morning already, to share our faith, to be a witness to the world. We all have a calling to go and make disciples of all nations. We have a calling to come alongside, encourage, and fellowship, and edify our family of God, our church. So we all have the exact same callings and certain things. But then we all also have different callings, unique callings. Some of you are married, and you have a calling to have your marriage to be a testimony to the goodness of Christ to the world. Some of you are single, and you have a calling to live your singleness in a way that it honors God, a righteous life that honors God. Some of you have a calling to be on mission in a certain ministry field. Some of you have a calling to live in this city, even though it's not your home city, but to live here for a while and be the salt and light of Christ while you're here doing your work. Some of you have a calling to raise godly sons and godly daughters. And so we all have unique callings as well. And even in those callings, sometimes the calling gets tough. The calling gets tough. So I would like us to look, just as a starting point this morning, look at, not this morning, this afternoon, look at Acts chapter 16. I'd like to look in the context here of Paul planting this church. But we'll use this as a beginning point to look at some other scripture as well. So Acts chapter 16. Now Paul, the Apostle Paul, he is already following the call of God to take the gospel, take the witness of Christ to the Gentiles. He's already been on one missionary journey, and now he's on a second missionary journey. And so there in the first part of Acts, chapter 16, we see Paul trying to move east And the scripture says that the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would not let him go in that direction. And then he tries to go north, and the Spirit of the Lord stopped him from going that way too. So here Paul is trying to move out and get these first steps in this calling to go and plant a new church, the very first church in what we call Europe today. And right off the bat, immediately, he's having some challenges or some difficulties. But then in Acts chapter 16, verse 9 and 10, here's what we call the Macedonia call. It says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So again, Macedonia is what we call current day Europe. And so Paul had seen the vision. And the scripture said, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So finally, Paul gets his clear calling. His companions confirm that calling, hear it as well, and off they go to Europe for the first time to plant the very first church in a town called Philippi. So typically when I've come to this passage, and I've heard it preached in a sermon, or I've heard it in a Bible study, that highlight all the wonderful things of God, all the good things that take place, as they should. And I've heard, as you probably have as well, wonderful things like when Paul goes to the city Philippi, he finds a woman named Lydia, who's probably a very influential woman in social circles there, and she responds to the gospel, receives Christ. So does her family. The whole family is saved, and they're all baptized. Praise God. Then we see that we read something about this slave girl who is demon-possessed, and she's miraculously healed. Praise God. We read about how Paul and Silas wind up in prison, but God miraculously frees them from jail, and they get out. Praise God. And we read about even in jail, Paul and Silas's jailer, the guard, he hears the gospel, responds, as does his whole family. They're all saved and they're all baptized. So we read all these glorious, wonderful things of God, and we give him praise, and we should. But when I put on my church planter glasses, and I look a little closer at what's going on here, maybe read what's going on between all these wonderful miracles of God, I see a lot of Paul's calling getting tough. Like, for example, when Paul arrived in Philippi, he'd never been there before. This was a strange new place. He was a foreigner in this land. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, living in a place that's not your home country. I'm being sarcastic. Yeah, you can. It's difficult just to figure out, where to buy your groceries and how to pay your bills, right? So right off the bat, immediately, Paul has that difficulty. Secondly, when Paul would go to a new city to start a new church, it was typical of him. His very first thing he would do is he would go to the local synagogue and find the influential men of the city. He gets to Philippi, there is no synagogue. So now what's he do? I mean, that's what he's done before. It's not there. Now what I do? So Paul thinks, well, I heard about this place of prayer outside of town, down by the river. So he goes out there. He's probably going in hopes of finding some influential men of the city. It was a different culture back then, all right? And so he goes to this place of prayer, and it says all he finds is women. Now today, I want women on the team. We have to have women on our team. Back then, it was a little different cultural situation. So not finding the influential men, he finds the women. The calling of Paul in planting this church was getting tough. It was harder than times before. He was, there's this slave girl. Yeah, we praise God that she was healed. But because the slave girl was healed, her owners weren't happy about that. They'd been making a lot of money off her fortune telling, about her being possessed and telling the future. And so, because they were angry about the lack, the money they weren't going to make, they dragged Paul and Silas and their companions out into the streets, into the marketplace. The scripture says that they were falsely accused for advocating unlawfulness. The scripture says that they were attacked by the crowd. The scripture says that they were stripped of their clothes. The scripture says that they were beaten and severely flogged. They were thrown in prison, in the inner cell of the prison. They were shackled in the inner cell of the prison. So Paul knew what it means when the calling gets tough. When the calling gets tough. And it's not the first time for Paul, as you may know. But as I look at the scripture and I think about how difficult that calling was for Paul to accept and follow through with, I don't see anything in my Bible where it says that Paul hesitated, where Paul began to think, well, maybe I got this wrong. This is just too hard. Maybe I heard God wrong. Or this is so difficult. This isn't turning out the way it's turned out in the previous time. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I shouldn't do this after all. Maybe we should pack up and go back. You know, there's no hesitation, no second guessing. Paul stays persevering with the call. And I wonder, and I ask myself the question, how? What encouraged Paul? What empowered Paul to continue and persevere in his calling? Now, I don't know for sure. I wish I could go to a certain chapter in the Bible and tell you, okay, here's what it says Paul was doing and Paul was thinking. And this, I don't know. I can't do that. But if you'll just play along with me this morning, what I do sometimes is I use what I call my sanctified imagination. My sanctified imagination. And I just begin to imagine possibilities. So I think about Paul, a good Jewish boy, somewhere around the age of 10 or so, very young. He would have already put to memory all the law of God and all the prophet, all the words of the prophets. Being a Pharisee of Pharisees, he knew the scripture that they had at the time. So I think maybe, just maybe in my imagination, maybe Paul reflected on who is God, what the word of God that he knew, what it said about who God is and who he is. Maybe he went for strength. Maybe he went back to a prophet like Isaiah. So just imagine with me for a few minutes this morning. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah chapter 43, this, again, I don't know for sure, but maybe I'm just imagining Paul would have reflected on a passage such as this. The words of a prophet that he most likely had memorized. So I began to look at Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, verse 3 says, and this is the prophet Isaiah quoting God himself. So God says in verse 3, God says, I am the Lord your God. In verse 3, God says, I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He says in verse 10, God says, before me there was no God, and after me there is no God. In verse 11, God says, I am the Lord. I am your Redeemer. Besides me there is no Savior. Verse 14, God says, I am your Redeemer. I am the Holy One of Israel. In verse 15, God says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And so I begin to imagine, maybe, just maybe, when the calling got tough for Paul, he reflected back on the reality of who it was that called him in the first place. Paul didn't just up and decide to do this. He was called of God to do this. And so maybe when the going got tough, when the calling got tough, Paul began to reflect on, well, just who is it that's called me to do this in the first place? And I would encourage you, as well as me this morning, that whether you're going through a tough season right now in your own callings, or you're maybe going to face one soon, that it would do us well to remember who it is that's called you. You didn't just decide to do these things. God has called you into these callings in your life. So we remember who it is. Who has called you? You have been called by Abba, your Father in heaven. You've been called by the Advocate, the Almighty God. the Alpha and the Omega. That's who's called you into this calling. You've been called by the Ancient of Days. You've been called by the Anointed One, the author of life, the author of our faith. You've been called by the beginning, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the bright morning star. That's who's called you into your calling. The chosen one, Christ the Lord, your comforter, your commander, your counselor, your creator. That's who's called you into your calling. Not just anyone, but your deliverer, the eternal God, the everlasting Father. That's who's called you into this calling. God Almighty, God who sees me, the great high priest, our great shepherd, the head of the body, the head of the church, the high priest forever, the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. This is God. This is who's called us into our calling. The I am that I am that I am, the self-existent one. He is the one that's called you into this calling. Emmanuel, God with us. Jehovah, Jesus Christ our Lord, King of kings, King of the ages. The very life that we know, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It's not just been anybody. It's not just work. It's not just someone that's called you into the callings that you have. It is the living stone. It is the living water. It is the Lord God Almighty. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that has called you. Lord of glory, Lord of hosts, Lord of lords. He is love. He is the master. He is our mediator. He is our merciful God. He is the Messiah. That's who's called you into your calling. The Omega, the only begotten Son, our Passover Lamb. The power of God, the Prince of Peace, our great prophet, our Redeemer, our resurrection, the righteousness. That's who's called you into your current calling. Our Savior, our shield, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Spirit of God, our teacher, our true light, our true witness, the way, the wisdom, the wonderful God, the Word. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that has called you into your calling. Amen. Yeah, not just anyone. So when the calling is tough, in that moment, in that dark hour, in that tough day, remember, I'm not just out here because I want to be. I'm not just going out here on my own authority. This is who has sent me. This God, the great I am. So again, I don't know for sure. I'm just using my imagination that maybe Paul might have had some thoughts like that. But maybe also, if Paul was reflecting on this prophet, Isaiah chapter 43, maybe in addition to remembering who it is that called him in the first place, maybe he would have also thought about who he was. He would have remembered who he is in Christ Jesus who's calling him. Not who Paul was on his own, but who he is or was in Christ Jesus. Look with me in chapter 43 of Isaiah. Verse 1, God says, I am he who created you. So we are created. From the very beginning, we are created by God. Verse 1, he says, he formed us. You were formed by God. This is who you are. You are intentionally created and purposely formed. Verse 1 goes on to say, God says, I have redeemed you. You have been bought back. You have been redeemed by God. That's who you are in Christ, the one who's called you. Verse 1 says, God says, I have called you or summoned you by name. This wasn't a blanket call. This wasn't a, hey, anybody that wants to do this, go do this. God calls you by your personal name into these callings that he has for you. So he's called you by name on purpose, personally. And then also look in verse 1. He says, God says, I have called you by name and you are mine. That's who you are. You're one who belongs to God. You belong to God. Verse 4, God says, you are precious in my eyes. Verse 4 says, you are honored in my eyes. And verse 4, God says, and I love you. Man, you are precious. You are honored and you are loved by God. That's who you are. And I know that in those times when our calling gets tough, sometimes we don't have a lot of good thoughts about ourselves. Sometimes we begin to think or listen to other voices, our own or other people of the world, and we begin to hear other voices trying to tell us a lie about who we are. But I say, I would encourage you and encourage me this morning to not listen to what others say who you are, but to listen to the Word of God and who God says that you are. So I'm gonna read another short list over you, but I'm not just reading this list to you. I am declaring the truth of the living Word of our Almighty God. I'm declaring it over you. In Christ, you are a citizen of heaven. In Christ, you are a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit of God. You are a holy temple. I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. You are a member of Christ's body. You are adopted into the household of God, into God's family. You're a minister of reconciliation along with God. You have been adopted as His child. You are a saint. You're alive, no longer dead, but alive in Christ Jesus. That's who you are in Christ as one who is called. You are blameless, and you are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. You lack nothing. You're born of God, and the evil one cannot touch you. That's what God says about you. You've been bought with a price, and you belong to God. You are chosen. You are dearly loved. You are Christ's friend. You are absolutely complete in Christ. You lack nothing. You have everything in Christ Jesus. You are no longer, you are now dead to sin. You are dead to sin. You are delivered. You are established. You are anointed. You are sealed in the Holy Spirit of God. You are forgiven. You are free forever from condemnation. That is who you are in Christ Jesus. God's co-worker, hidden in Christ. You're His disciple. You're more than a conqueror. You're not alone. You're not helpless. You're not in want. You are an overcomer. You are raised up with Christ. You are redeemed from the curse of the law. You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Redeemed, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You are secure and set free. That's who you are in Christ. You have access to God through His Holy Spirit. You have been brought near to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been justified. You have been shown the incomparable grace of our God. You have hope. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. You have peace and you have purpose now. You possess the mind of Christ. You have God's power working in you. You have been called by name, by God. This is who we are in Christ. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. In those difficult times when the calling gets tough, we need to be reminded of this reality. We need to hear it ourselves. We need to tell ourselves from the Word of God. We need to tell one another. We need to remind each other. No, this is the reality. This is who you are in Jesus Christ. And let that encourage you to persevere when the calling gets tough. And then very quickly, I'm going to try to slip one more in here before the end of our time. Maybe, just maybe, as Paul looked at, possibly in my imagination, as he looked at Isaiah 43 and he remembered about who it is, who is the one that sent him, who called him in the first place. And then maybe he also thought about, well, who he was in Christ Jesus. And that encouraged him to persevere. Maybe, just maybe, one more thought Paul might have had. He might have been reminded from this prophet that the God who called him, the God he belongs to, the God that called him, didn't just call him and send him out and say, good luck with that, let me know how it goes. But the God who called him and sent him out went with him. Look, look with me in chapter 43, verse 2. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, God says, when you pass through the waters, the difficult times, the rough waters, the hard currents, the undertows, when you pass through the waters, God says, I will be with you. Man, God is always with us, Emmanuel. But he says right here, a very specific promise to us, in those tough times, in the tough waters, in the hard times, I will be with you. He says, and through the rivers, and they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flames, they will not consume you, because God is with us. In verse 5, God says, fear not, I am with you. And in verse 13, God says, there is no one who can deliver from my hand. I work, who can turn it back? This is God saying, no one, but no one can stop what I start. No one, but no one can thwart the plans of God. What God plans to do, the people God calls to do the plans, they will succeed with God. And nothing can stop it, because God is with us. In verses 16 and 17, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, and he makes a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, an army and warrior, they lie down. They lie down, and they can't rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick, like a lit wick on a candle. Just that easy, in the power of God. So maybe, just maybe, Paul thought during these difficult times in this calling to plant a new church, to plant the first church in modern day Europe, the great, 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 great grandmother of this church, maybe, huh? When those times got tough and the calling got tough, maybe he remembered, it is the great I am who called me to this. Maybe he remembered, this is the reality of who I am in Christ Jesus, who has sent me on this mission. And maybe he remembered, God is with me every step of the way. So if you're calling, whether it's a personal calling in your life or a calling as a believer in Christ, or maybe there's someone here this morning that is receiving the initial call to come to Christ. That God, the Father who loves you and created you, is saying, come to me, let me give you life, let me forgive your sins, let me adopt you into my family, let me redeem you. Maybe it's that calling that you're sensing or recognizing in your life today. Come to God if that's your calling today. Remember and trust the one who's called you. Remember and trust who you are in Christ. And remember and trust the reality that God is with us. Let me pray for us. Father, we praise your holy name, God, and for everything that's taken place as the body has gathered today, God, here in this house to worship you. Praise be to the name of Jesus Christ, God. Thank you for your Spirit that has filled each one of us and filled this place. God, put it in our hearts, God. Put it in our spirits. Help us, God, to imagine. Help us to imagine just what it would look like around here, what it would look like in this world around us if every one of us, Father, persevered in our callings, knowing who it is that's called us, knowing who we are as the called ones, and knowing that you walk with us every step of the way, God. Oh, God, how you would change this world, how you would radically transform the lives of people around us, in this world, God, how victorious we would see you moving in this place, God. Make us a people like that. We praise you and worship you and thank you for the truths, Father, of your word this morning. In Christ's name, amen.